Talking the spiritual weapon,
yes,
of obedience.
Yes, Lord.
The spiritual weapon of obedience.
Yes.
And as we get into that today, we want to talk about, and we started last week talking about the role of obedience in the Old Testament. And we're going to continue that, and we're going to spotlight or highlight one of the characters in the Old Testament, and we're going to spotlight, but there's a principle that we talked about last week, and I want to remind you of that principle again, because it's so very important. And the principle is that whenever there is a new beginning, say that with me, new beginning. Is there anybody here that's ready for a new beginning?
Amen.
Whenever there is a new beginning, when you look back in the history of God's kingdom, obedience is always comes into special prominence.
Amen.
In other words, when God is positioning you for a new beginning, you must pay careful attention to be obedient to what he tells you or leads you to do, because it's going to be the key to your success or failure.
Amen.
Amen. Have you got it?
Amen.
And so what we're going to look at today, we're going to look at a new beginning. And the new beginning that we're going to look at is when there was a change in Israel's history. From being led by judges and prophets, where it got to the point to where the last judge was Samuel. And as Samuel got older, the people of Israel used as an excuse, they say, Samuel, you're getting old. Keep living, you're going to get old. Samuel, you're getting old, and your children, your sons, don't walk in your ways.
Jesus.
We need a king.
Yes, Lord.
Like the other nations have. And it grieved Samuel.
Yes, Lord.
It grieved him, and God had to deal with Samuel, and eventually God said, give them what they asked for. Warn them what the king's going to do. Warn them that God's system was better than the world's system. But you know what? We got to be careful when we are part of the kingdom of God and when we let the world be our example.
Yes, yes.
We let the world, amen, we become fans of what the world is doing. And God said, give them what they want. But let them know, amen, that it's going to cost you. And he told them what it was going to cost them, amen. But they said, well, we still want a king. And so what we have and what we're going to be talking about today is the first king of Israel. And his name was Saul. And in the story of Saul, we have the most solemn warning as to the need of exact and complete obedience.
Yes, Lord.
In a man or a woman whom God is to trust as the leader of his people.
Yes.
We've got an object lesson in the life of Saul.
Oh, yes.
And I'm not going to go through every detail of Saul's life. But physically, Saul was head and shoulder above everybody else in Israel. He was an impressive looking individual. It's interesting to me, early when Samuel first had an audience with Saul, Saul was trying to find his father's donkeys, and he couldn't find them. And somebody said, well, go to the man of God he can help you. And so Saul went to the prophet Samuel to inquire of his donkeys. And you know, it's interesting. A lot of times we can be involved in the ordinary things of life and have a and come in contact with the servant of God, a man of God, woman of God, come in contact with them, and it can change our destiny.
Yes, Lord.
Change our destiny. Yes. He came to inquire about donkeys, and what the man of God told him was, "Don't worry about it. Your donkeys have been found." But I've got something else to tell you. God has called you. And God is placing you to be the captain over his people. And so Samuel began to speak into Saul's life and began to say some things to him. I don't have the scripture up on the screen, but there's a very important point that Samuel says to Saul. And if you've got your Bible, or you can turn to a scripture in your device, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter. 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter. And this is a very important principle that we need to get an understanding of. 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter. And if you get it, and look at 1 Samuel 10 and 6. I'm going to read from the New King James Version there. And what it says there in 1 Samuel 10 and 6. This is the prophet Samuel speaking into Saul's life. And he says in the 6th verse, "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do." I wanted to read this, and it began to impress in my spirit, and I didn't put a slide up with that particular scripture, but I want you to look at this. In the very beginning of God's call on Saul's life, Samuel says to him that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you're going to prophesy. God will spiritually equip us if we allow him for the work that he has for us to do. Yeah. And it happened just like Samuel said. Saul was not a prophet, but as a sign, when he came among the sons of the prophets and they began to prophesy, he began to prophesy. You know, there's some time that God will do something in your life. And it's not that, amen, you're going to turn it into a lifelong ministry. But, amen, God will touch you, amen, in a moment and cause you to do something that's out of the ordinary. Yes. And will cause people to look at you in a different way and say, "Man, I ain't never seen them do that before." Y'all with me?
Yes, amen.
And so that's what happened. It was a sign. And God says there to him, "And you'll be turned into another man." Now, in verse 7, he says, "And let it be." Do you notice that? "And let it be." You see, sometimes God will start a work in our lives and initiate some things in our lives, but it's up to us to cooperate. It's up to us to cooperate. God's not going to God's not going to tie us up and kidnap us and make us.
Yes, Lord.
Not going to make us. You got to let it be. And so he says there in verse 7, let it be when these signs come. And then I want you to notice this. It says that you do as the occasion demands. Very important. That you do as the occasion demands. In other words, there's a season coming. And what Samuel was prophesying to him, the events took place maybe some 2 to 3 years later. Y'all listen?
Yes. It
didn't happen immediately. And a lot of us, when we get a word from God, we want it right now.
Right.
It didn't happen immediately. It was 2 to 3 years later that the events began to line up and the things began to happen. And you notice that it says in verse 7, let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands. In other words, God, the way God works in our lives, and the way God worked in Saul's life, and I believe it's the way he works in some of our lives, God is not speaking to you every day. There's some folk that walk around and they act like, you know, that they got a direct line to God and God is talking to them every day and they got a new revelation every day and I wonder about some of those folks. Because some of the stuff that they be saying don't line up with the word. And I'm not trying to judge them by myself, but can I take a poll with you? I know in my life, there are points in my life that I can point to where God interrupts the ordinariness of my life and he has a rhema word for me. And he'll speak into my life in a definite way. And then after that, and it'll happen, and then after that, I'll go through a period of time where I don't hear from him. I don't hear from him. And I'm not getting another vision. I'm not getting another dream. I'm not hearing from him. And it seems like, you begin to wonder. And the only thing that you can do, or the only thing that I know to do in those situations is follow the last instructions that were given. Follow the last instructions that were given. And notice what he says to him in verse 7. He says there that you do as the occasion demands. You see, God is not micromanaging our lives. God's not micromanaging our lives. And God will set you in a direction and he'll touch you. And then there are times that you've got to use your conscience and your knowledge of the word of God and your sense of what's right and wrong, and you have to make decisions for yourself. Might seem a little strange. I'm talking about obedience, but this is an area where God's not micromanaging us. And he's touched us and he set us on a course, and until certain things happen, you got to make decisions for yourself.
Yes, Lord.
And you gotta that's why it's good to meditate in the word of God. That's why it's good to spend time in prayer. But you know what? Sometimes even when you spend time in prayer, you're asking God, there are times when God won't give you an answer. And you'll have to sit down and figure out, now what am I going to do now? Mm-hmm. I hope I'm speaking to somebody.
Yes,
you have to figure out, what am I going to do now? And you notice what he says there in verse 7, do. What are you to do? Do as the occasion demands. You don't sit there frozen. You don't sit there. You do as the occasion, you do the best that you can do.
Amen.
You do the best that you can do. Now, I want to make that point, but then I also want you to notice in verse 7, he said, you do what the occasion demands, for God is with you. Even though it might not, he might not be answering, or it seemed like he's not answering, but you settle yourself, you weigh your options, and you do what the occasion demands. And you take heart in the fact that God is with you.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
And then verse 8. Verse 8 says, and you shall go down before me to Gilgal. And surely I will come and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what to do.
Yes.
Now there is a difference between operating in the permissive will of God and the perfect will of God. And for a lot of us, and for long periods of time, you're going to be operating in the permissive will of God. You're going to be operating with the last instructions you got. You're going to be trying to make the best decision, amen, as the occasion demands. But then in verse 8, the express will of God, amen, was revealed. And in verse 8, we're in 1 Samuel 10. Verse 8, it says, you shall go down before me to Gilgal. And surely I will come down to you and I'll offer the burnt offerings and the sacrifices and the peace offering. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and I'll show you what to do. There comes a time when it's not enough just to operate in the permissive will of God. There comes a time and there comes situations in our lives when you need a rhema word as to what you should do. And that's where, and this is where Saul messed up. You see, when I told you in stature, Saul was head and shoulder above the men in Israel. He was tall. He was handsome. He was striking. And yet, when he was first called, he saw himself being little. But as the title and the position began to, and the power, you know how they talk about power, you know, they say power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. He got into the positional, he became a positional leader, and he got puffed up, and began to think of himself more highly than he ought. And I won't go into all of the details, but let's move forward. And now we're at 1 Samuel 13 and 8. And in 1 Samuel 13 and 8, the very thing that the prophet had warned him about and told him what to do had come to pass. And it says there in 1 Samuel 13 and 8, then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. Now, what was going on here, the Philistines had come against Israel and were mounting forces against Israel. And Saul had called the people to rally to him at Gilgal. And when he called the people to rally to him at Gilgal, he was waiting for the prophet Samuel to come, and he didn't come. He didn't come. It was getting late. And the people were already scared. And the people used the occasion of Saul waiting to say, we gonna go somewhere and hide. This don't look good for Israel. This don't look good, and this Saul We don't trust him. And so the people got shaken. And what Saul's problem was he was paying attention to the people instead of, amen, following the last instructions that he got from the man of God. Y'all listening to me? And so, number one, I believe that his duty was plain. He had his instructions. His duty was plain, but his faith was being tried. And what was happening to Saul happens to each and every one of us in life. Amen. Many times you don't know what God told you to do. But, amen, doing it, especially when everybody else around you is shaking, is a test of your faith.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So his faith was being tried. The enemy was mounting up, and he was picturing that, amen, something bad was about to happen.
Yes.
Amen. So his faith was being tried, and... his failure became great. He was not obedient. We're talking about the spiritual weapon of obedience.
Yes.
And just as obedience is a spiritual weapon, disobedience is turning the weapon onto ourselves. And so his failure was great. And what do I mean by his failure was great? Well, in 1 Samuel 13:9, it says, so Saul said, bring me a burnt offering and a peace offering here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. You see, what Saul did, Saul waited till it was almost the close of the seventh day, as Samuel had appointed. But before the full time had come, through the pressure of the circumstances, his patience with the will of God was broken down. And he had chosen his own way and stepped out of the purpose and favor of God. He waited until, you know, it wasn't the close of the seventh hour. It wasn't the close of, he said, wait 7 days. And he's counting the days. And Saul was hoping that he would come in the morning of the seventh day. At least come by the morning of, he didn't come by the morning of the seventh day. And it was dragging on. And stop and think about it. You know, in our frame of reference, seven is the complete number. Seven is the complete number. He told me to wait 7 days. Amen. It's the seventh day. He haven't come. It's getting late. How many times in our lives do we tell God it's getting late? God, that bill is due. It's getting late. God, it's late. God, you late. That's what Martha, Mary, one of them, told Jesus when he came. If you'd been here, my brother would not have died. He said, show me where you laid him. Oh, you laid. He stink now.
Yes.
When we want to tell God it's getting late, you got to realize God don't operate by our watch.
Amen. Oh, yes.
And so he failed. He said, bring me the burnt offering. He intruded upon the office of a priest.
Yes.
Amen. One thing that I've learned, and I want to put it into our modern vernacular, amen. One of the things that I learned about God, if you want to be successful with God, you got to stay in your lane.
Oh, yeah.
Look at your neighbor and say, did you hear what he said?
Yeah.
If you want to be successful with God, you got to stay in your lane. If you get out of your lane, you're going to get in trouble. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Lord. And so in that 10th verse it says, now it happened that as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came. soon as he got out of his lane, because it was getting late.
Yes, yes.
As soon as he messed up, Samuel showed up.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Made me think about the song. He may not come when you want him, but he's right on time.
Yes.
And Saul went out to meet him and greeted him. And he greeted him with an excuse. A lot of times when we get out of our lane, we always got an excuse.
Yes.
But his excuse was vain. Hallelujah. And he says there in the 11th verse, and Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines had gathered together at Mishmash." The Philistines are together, but God's people are scattered. Something wrong with that picture. Something wrong with that picture. And notice what he said there. And when I saw that the people were scattered from me. You see, he was too full of himself. It was all about him. And God had given him a word through the prophet Samuel almost 2 to 3 years earlier, amen, that God was with you. If you got God with you, don't get troubled about the people who ain't with you.
All right.
And I know that's hard. It's easy to say, but it's hard. Amen. But if God be for us, he's more than the world against us. Hallelujah. And so verse 12, then I said, this is Saul talking to himself. You got to be careful what you say to yourself. Then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled, and I offered a burnt offering. I felt compelled. Hallelujah. And because he got out of his lane and intruded into the office of the priest,
yes, yes,
and operated. See, when you are, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. When you are called into a place of leadership, don't take that lightly. Leadership, you see, we want the trappings and the benefits that go with leadership, but we don't want the responsibility of leadership. When you're called into an area of leadership, to whom much is given, much is required. We want to act just as goofy and sloppy as we were. Well, if you want to be goofy and sloppy, then keep punching the clock and work for somebody else. But if you want promotion, and I'm talking both natural and spiritual, if you want promotion, then you're going to have to learn to follow direction. Because obedience is a spiritual weapon. His loss was deplorable, and it was far-reaching. And what I want to show you here about the loss, and Samuel said to Saul, "You've done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever.
Yes.
In other words, your foolishness has not only affected your destiny, but it has affected the destiny of your family that was going to come after you.
Yes.
Anybody listening to me? And if you know the history of Saul, if you know the history of Saul, you'll recognize that when God left him, when the Spirit of God left him, he still had title and position, but he was crazy.
Yes, he was.
He was crazy.
Yes.
And his son, Jonathan, was in covenant relationship with David, and recognized David as God's anointed and next king. But because of family ties, he stuck with his daddy, Saul. And Saul got him killed.
Yes, Lord.
And not only did he get Jonathan killed, but the effect on the family of Saul. Notice again, it said, for now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. The failure of disobedience had far-reaching consequences.
Yes, Lord.
A lot of times when we don't do what God has plainly told us to do, we think it just affects us. Mm-hmm. You know, we say, well, you know, I'm willing to take it. I'm a man, I can take it. All right, you're a man, you can take it, but some of the bad decisions you make will affect your family.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't think this is just particular for men, but it goes for all caring parents. It's difficult for me to describe the pain that you feel in your heart when you see your own children suffering for the mistakes you made.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That's something that I wouldn't want to wish upon any parent.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It says, but now your kingdom shall not continue. For the Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people. Because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. And you know, somebody might look and say, well, you know what, God's being hard. God, that's too hard. But notice, God gave him specific instructions. We read it over in 1 Samuel 10. Amen. You can do as the occasion calls. But then there's a point where God said, all right, but I want you to go before me down to Gilgal. And Samuel's going to come to you in 7 days. And he's going to offer the sacrifices and he'll tell you what to do. He had specific instructions. You know what? There's a zeal that's not according to knowledge. There's a zeal, but which is a defiance of knowledge, a violation of the word of God and of conscience. In seeking to serve God with our own will, we reject his. And when we do that, it is as if offering polluted sacrifices on his altar. Now, It was this area of disobedience where he got rejected. And God said, I'm done with it. You remember in 1 Samuel 10, he said, my spirit is going to come upon you. God lifted his spirit up off of Saul. Now, he still had title and position. He still, in the eyes of the people, was the king. And in fact, Samuel gave him another chance.
Yes.
Gave him another chance. Mm-hmm. He told him to go against the Amorites.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, utterly destroy them. Don't take any captives. Utterly destroy them. And this was a threat to the people of God, to the nation of Israel. And Saul was like, oh, I got another chance. Got another chance.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? When you begin to let disobedience operate in your lives, There are certain things that it's just best to nip it in the bud. There's certain things that you can't play with. Certain sins you can't play with. And maybe for each of us, it might be different what those are. I mean, sin is sin. Transgression of the word of God is sin. But there's something, I've seen some people who they can pick up cigarettes and start smoking, and then they can make up their mind and say, you know what, I need to do better than this. I'm going to live for God. And they can put them down, and it won't bother them. They can pick it up and they can put it down. Then I've seen some other people that once they pick it up and start, it's a monster.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
To try to put down.
Yes, Lord.
And I'm using cigarettes as an example. And I think in each of our lives, amen, if you know yourself, if you've been observant of your own behavior, there are some things in our lives that each of us know that, you know what, it'd be better for me to just nip this in the bud.
Right.
I can't play with it.
Yes.
Anybody feel what I'm saying?
Yes.
I can't play with it. I can't play around it.
Yes.
Amen. God delivered me from it. I better not go back to it. I got to leave it alone. And so the habit of disobedience, he got another chance. But he messed up again. He said, utterly destroyed him. What did he do? He got over there and gained the victory. And they gained the victory. And then somebody said, man, look at their sheep. Man, those are some nice looking sheep. You know, and when he said utterly destroyed, meant everything. The livestock,
yes,
thing,
yes.
Everything.
Yes, Lord.
But somebody said, look at them, they look good. He's like, yeah, they do. Man, those are some nice looking sheep. And you ever wonder why the things outside of God's will look so good to us? You ever wonder about that? Amen. Look good to you. Things outside God's will. Amen. Looks so good to you. And they say, it'd be a shame to destroy all these. And somebody came over there and I said, tell you what, you know what we can do? We can save it to sacrifice it to God. Yeah, yeah. That sounds good. And you know how we do. Amen. When we sacrifice to God, we ain't giving God all of it. Amen. We passed the offering bucket. Amen. Or we had the offering bucket earlier. If you came late, amen, it's not too late. But one thing that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you didn't put all in. Amen. Sacrifice for God. We can sacrifice. They weren't going to give all to God. God was going to get some. He told them utterly destroy them all. And then the king of the king. Amen. Of the enemy, for some reason, he decided let's spare the king. Now I don't know if the king promised him some money or what, but let's spare the king. And so instead of destroying them all, they spared the king.
Yes.
And when amen, and as soon as the decision was made and what have you, then the prophet Samuel showed up. And Saul, with his deceitful self, met the prophet of God and said, I have done what the Lord commanded. Look how disobedience will make a liar out of you. I have done what the Lord commanded. And then Samuel said, wait a minute. What's that? Bad. That I'm here. And who's that guy over there that you got? That looked like the king who's supposed to be dead. He had a zeal that was not according to knowledge, which was really a defiance of the express will of God. See, there's some areas, and the point I'm trying to get about the spiritual weapon of obedience, and I'm just about done now, but there are some areas that we don't have scripture for. There's some areas where you gotta do your best judgment. There's some areas that you gotta do what the situation dictates. And that. But then there are other areas where God has told us specifically what to do. And I'm gonna tell you something. As believers, we don't get a free pass by simply saying, I ain't never read that. You don't get a free pass. What do they say in the courtroom? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. The law is the law. So we do the best we can, but in the areas where we have a specific word of God, amen, and that's that last scripture that I want to talk about, and we understand it. In context, it says, so Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice,
yes, yes.
And to heed than the fat of rams.
Yes.
The highest sacrifice that you could give in the Mosaic sacrificial system was the fat of a ram. That was the best offering. And so we've heard it before, obedience. I want you to say that with me. Obedience
is
better
than
sacrifice. Now, look at the word there, amen, and we'll finish up. But it says, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight. Do you all see that? One of the things that I notice about obedience, God is not neutral about obedience. God, what does the word say there? Delights. God delights. Where's his delight? Not burnt offerings, not sacrifices, but obedience. Do you see what I'm saying here? And so, for this next move that you want God to do in your life, some of you are saying, God, I'm ready for a new thing. For this next chapter of your life, and God is getting ready to do a new thing, but understand, don't disqualify yourself for this next new move by disobedience.
Amen.
Do the best you can. Do what the circumstances dictate. Where you don't have a direct ring of word, but where you have a direct ring of word, when God shows up,
yes.
Or remember the last instructions you got. And I close with what Mary said to the servants. Whatever he says do,
yeah.
Do it.
Amen.
And if we start doing that, we'll get our miracles.